"Nice," he said. "A triumph of the silicone chunk. A miracle of modern Masonic technology. Nice."
"Oh, yes," said Two Flower, to whom sarcasm was merely a seven-letter word beginning with S.
"What does ethnic mean?" said the druid.
"It means terribly impressive," said Rincewind hurriedly, "and we seem to be in danger of landing, if you don't mind."
Bellophon turned around, only slightly mollified. He raised his arms wide and shouted a series of untranslatable words ending with "nice" in a hurt whisper. The rock slowed, drifted sideways in a billow of snow, and hovered over the circle. Down below, a druid waved two bunches of mistletoe in complicated patterns, and Bellophon skillfully brought the massive slab to rest across two giant uprights with the faintest of clicks. Rincewind let his breath out in a long sigh. It hurried off to hide somewhere. A ladder banged against the side of the slab, and the head of an elderly druid appeared over the edge. He gave the two passengers a puzzled glance and then looked up at Bellophon.
"About bloody time," he said. 7 weeks the Hog's Watch night, and it's gone down on us again."
"Hello, Zachariah," said Bellophon. "What happened this time?"
"It's all totally fouled up. Today it predicted sunrise 3 minutes early. Talk about a klutz, boy. This is it."
Bellophon clambered onto the ladder and disappeared from view. The passengers looked at each other and then stared down into the vast open space between the inner circle of stones. "What shall we do now?" said Two Flower.
"We could go to sleep," suggested Rincewind.
Two Flower ignored him and climbed down the ladder. Around the circle, druids were tapping the megaliths with little hammers and listening intently. Several of the huge stones were lying on their sides, and each was surrounded by another crowd of druids who were examining it carefully and arguing amongst themselves. Arcane phrases floated up to where Rincewind sat.
"It can't be software incompatibility. The Chant of the Trodden Spiral was designed for concentric rings, idiot."
"I say, fire it up again and try a simple moon ceremony."
"All right, all right. Nothing's wrong with the stones. It's just that the universe has gone wrong, right?"
Through the mists of his exhausted mind, Rincewind remembered the horrible star they'd seen in the sky. Something had gone wrong with the universe last night. How had he come to be back on the disk? He had a feeling that the answers were somewhere inside his head, and an even more unpleasant feeling began to dawn on him that something else was watching the scene below, watching it from behind his eyes. The spell had crept from its lair deep in the untrodden dirt roads of his mind, and was sitting, bold as brass, in his forebrain, watching the passing scene, and doing the mental equivalent of eating popcorn. He tried to push it back, and the world vanished. He was in darkness, a warm, musty darkness, the darkness of the tomb, the velvet blackness of the mummy case. There was a strong smell of old leather and the sourness of ancient paper. The paper rustled. He felt that the darkness was full of unimaginable horrors, and the trouble with unimaginable horrors was that they were only too easy to imagine.
"Rincewind," said a voice.
Rincewind had never heard a lizard speak, but if one did, it would have a voice like that.
He said. "Yes?"
The voice chuckled, a strange sound, rather papery.
"You ought to say, 'Where am I?'" it said.
"Would I like it if I knew?" said Rincewind.
He stared hard at the darkness. Now that he was accustomed to it, he could see something. Something vague, hardly bright enough to be anything at all. Just the merest tracery in the air. Something strangely familiar.
"All right," he said. "Where am I?"
"You are dreaming."
"Can I wake up now, please?"
"No,"
said another voice, as old and dry as the first, but still slightly different.
"We have something very important to tell you," said a third voice, if anything more corpse-dry than the others.
Rincewind nodded stupidly. In the back of his mind, the spell lurked and peered cautiously over his mental shoulder.
"You've caused us a lot of trouble, young Rincewind," the voice went on.